Welcome to this week's Good Work Show, everybody. We are back.
Yes, we're back. We promised. And we're here.
That's right. And we have another guest for you today. So we are excited because we are going to be talking to an old friend of the Good Work Show. She's been on, it's been a couple years since she's been on, but Mary Torrence Williams, who is the founder and executive director of Students Without Mothers, is going to join us in just a little bit. Her organization has been helping for many years students without mothers, high school students, in fact, and helping them through not only their high school years, but their transition to college, which is really important, particularly if you don't have that parent to kind of guide you through. I mean, it's like a rite of passage, right, when you go to college. I remember the day that I got dropped off, I guess, at college or, you know. So
we just going to go past the rite of what? Passage?
Yeah, that's what I said. What is that's not right? That's not the right.
Correct. That's the right word. I just don't know.
Oh, it didn't come out correct. Why did you have to rewind that? Nobody else was picking up on that. See, this is Good Work Show, friends. This is why.
we just go skate past that. Okay.
We were just gonna skate right on past. I was on a roll. I was doing great as the intro, and now you interrupted the flow of the show. It's Trenise's fault. They knew what I meant.
That's probably, but you know.
It's a rite of passage to have your parents drop you off at college. At the university.
At university, yes. Or get you ready for it. I mean, that's the thing too, the whole process of getting you ready. I mean, one of the things I was thinking about, I was like, my parents were very hands-off about college.
Yeah.
They just weren't engaged, which is interesting considering.
They were getting ready. Well, your sister had already gone, right?
My sister had already gone. They'd already done this.
Then they were ready for you to.
They did not care.
They were like, what time is it?
Right.
It's college time. Get out, Trenise. Right.
I mean, and the funny thing is my parents are both educators. My parents are, you know, education was always so important in my household. But literally everything that I basically had to do for college, I did. Parents were not, they were not running behind me trying to worry about, oh, did you get this application in and did you do that or did you, they were very hands off.
Yeah, my parents were too, but I did have my sister though. Now she was a super big help in terms of like, you need to get your FAFSA in, you need to do this, you need to do that. And so that's who I relied on. But I don't think anybody like made sure I had the correct stuff to move in.
We did. I know. I think
my mom, she did buy me. Now, you know, everybody got this. I'm sure everybody, you know, that glass set that you get with the glasses in the picture.
Oh, no, I didn't have that.
You didn't have that? My mom bought me that. And the cheap pot and pan set. I had that. I think I had some hand-me-down ones, but I had the pot and pan.
We didn't have a kitchen. So, so in my dorm, it was literally like I was in the room and we had the bathroom on the floor. And we did have
never mind.
The one bathroom. On the floor. Yeah. So I went to University of Miami, as listeners of the show knows. So we had what we call residence halls. So we didn't call them dorms. Not even residence halls. We had, I guess they called them residence halls. So we had faculty who lived in our dorms, and they had these.
I hope they get paid extra for that.
I think so. But they had these huge, you didn't have to pay for housing. So they had these beautiful apartments. So like my dorm was a 12-story tower. And basically our faculty who lived on staff had this, like almost the entire first floor of one of the towers was their apartment. So they lived there with their.
That's a big apartment.
Yeah, it was beautiful. They were beautiful. Do you remember like the old
different jobs available?
Probably. Remember Different World, like back in the day when the lady they lived there and she had her son was there and people would babysit for that's how it was. Like you just that's so if we wanted to actually cook or use like a kitchen or something, that was what you used. So we didn't have all of that stuff, but it was so no, I didn't have the big set. But everybody had to search for them extra long twin sheets.
Why do they make that? First of all, there's only one place you can use that. That's at college. There's yes. nowhere else in America that they make that. Can or you that, just?
I don't think they sell. I don't even think they sell extra long twin sheets except for like the 2 months before college move-in.
Yeah, that's. I think that's all. That's all.
Other than that, find them. Yeah, other than that, that's you can't find that. So no. Yeah, that was.
And it's not like they do. They save the mattresses. I feel like they get new mattresses after a while. They're going.
I hope
to,
so.
Well, let's just say like after every year you get rid of the mattress. Why buy the extra long again? Just upgrade to the into the.
When I think
size.
About it, I don't necessarily know that they were that long. I don't know how long a normal twin size bed is to be like, oh well, this is different.
It's a good because I have one in like an extra room here, so it's a. It's a good, like, 6 inches difference. So you okay. can't just, like, fit the extra long sheet set on the regular twin. Oh. I mean, without it sliding around. Like,
yeah, you know. I don't know. But I feel like that is the, that's one thing. But, yeah, I want to say that we had I'll say that my college was very good because it's a small school. So they were really good about sending you the stuff. So, like, here's the checklist and you got yeah. your roommate. You know, well in advance, so you could make the phone call and you could meet them. So like I called my roommate and we talked and we figured out who was bringing what. Well, I'll do this. My roommate was from Wisconsin and I was just coming down from Fort Lauderdale, so some stuff it was easier for me to like yeah. it was going to be significantly easier for me to get a refrigerator to campus
yeah.
than for her. But I do remember, now again, this is something that I don't know if this is normal, but like at Miami they had people that would send you stuff, like you could buy a kit of stuff.
Oh, yes, yes. I think you could do that at UGA too.
Yeah,
I didn't buy it though.
I didn't buy it, but it kind of helped you figure out what you needed because yeah. you could have just purchased, you know, write your check and then you would get all the stuff that you needed for.
Yes. You could do that for school now, like I think. Well,
I'm sure you
before,
can.
Before I could do that out of my house, let me just say,
right?
I have, if you just need something, if you name something, I probably have it in my house. I don't know why, I just automatically have stuff, but I do know why I have the school supplies. It's because when my daughter was in school, if they had something on sale, I knew she was going to use it at some point in life,
right? And it doesn't
so
go
I just
bad.
Went ahead and bought it when lined paper was 10 cents a pack. I bought like a whole thing of it. To this day, I'm sure there are like 20 or 30 packs of college rule line paper.
You need to go, when they do stuff the bus, you just need to go make a donation.
I could do a kit for you. But now everybody's like starting school like virtually a whole lot. So yeah. I don't know if they're actually even using paper. Like they're going to do all their work on computers and tablets. So
I think about just... And it makes me a little sad, especially for freshmen who are starting, because it was just so exciting yeah. to go to campus and have, I mean, it was emotional to have that whole drop off and have your parents just, you know, leave you yeah. there. But, you know, the stuff, because there were so many, and I would say, for going to like a smaller private university, there was a lot of tradition and because it was small, you had kind of like your group of people that you met and you went through orientation with and all that stuff, so that you kind of got you know, into the idea of living there that so many students are not going to get, even if, because I know we got a note from our university president, I'm still on the mailing list, I guess, and they were just kind of explaining what the process was going to be like. So some students, especially like international students or whatever, mm-hmm. they'll be able to be on campus, but it's going to be so different.
Yeah.
To not have... Point.
Students will go back. I'm sure that they have that time to get dropped off and go back and all of that. But yeah, this is, it's different. And even when they go back, students without mothers will be there for the students that don't have a mom to help, you know, make sure that they have that pitcher, that glass pitcher, which I never used and still don't ever use to this day. I don't even know why I have that because I don't make anything that needs to go in a pitcher. It's like just, but thank you, Mom, for providing me with that, because at some point in life, maybe I will use it. But, you know, they are being there to fill that gap and to make sure that they are there to step in where some of those students' moms may not be around to do so. So that's going to be great.
Yeah, that's such an important thing. And for such an important time, I think that's, you know, a really great resource. So excited to hear about from them and what they've been up to. So we were talking earlier about history, and you said that you did finally watch Hamilton.
I did watch out. I thought you were going to say I don't know anything about history, which is
true. Well, now you know about that.
Yes, I do know about Hamilton. I did watch it over the weekend, over this, I guess last weekend. It was really good. When you said you were listening to that soundtrack, I was like, first of all, I don't know anybody who just listens to like
a musical soundtrack. Everybody listened to this.
But that one was pretty good. It was really, there are some songs I was like, I can't listen to this one again, but I would definitely listen to that one again. And so it was a really good, I enjoyed it.
It's so funny. So of course I never saw the show on Broadway, obviously. Yeah. And then,
well, of course,
I never saw it.
There's very few, select few people in
yes, that saw the show. Yeah. So I never saw it. And then I never listened to the soundtrack before. So I really was one of those people that came into seeing it cold. Yeah. And I'm kind of glad I did. Cause I was like, oh, you kind of got to experience the whole thing at one time.
Yeah.
So then and I had a friend who was like that, I guess it came out on whatever that Friday was, and they were like, you need to watch it. And I'm like, I'll watch it tomorrow. I'm like, I don't feel like dealing with this or whatever. So I did finally sit down and watch it. And I was like, it's rare that there's something that everybody's really excited about. And then you watch it and you're like, oh, that was absolutely as good as everybody said it was. And that was one of those things that definitely lived up to the hype. So yes, I do listen. I do listen to it. And yes, what is it, David Diggs? Like, he's a national treasure.
I love him as just an actor. I just really like him. You know, Blackish is like my favorite.
Right.
This is my favorite show. So besides I Love Lucy, but that's a whole different like type of genre.
Just a little bit different.
But anyway, I do like him. So when he did great in that. I thought he was excellent in Hamilton.
So am I the only person? No, somebody else agreed with me though, but Thomas Jefferson was Prince, right? Like,
wait, what?
He what? Like, did you, like, when you saw him playing Thomas Jefferson, you didn't immediately think, like, oh, they modeled him after Prince? Not so much. I was like, with the purple jacket and the ruffly shirt, and then I was just like, oh, he's Prince. Okay.
But Prince, I mean, I guess I could go with you on that. The only thing I will say is I think the costumes were great. Here's the deal, because I like old stuff, like watching it in terms of like fashion and stuff. I don't know. I couldn't tell you any dates about anything that happened in history. However, if I were back in those days, I would have dressed like the men versus the women. They had the best outfits. I was like, first of all, I would have worn that Thomas Jefferson outfit tomorrow.
Yes. it was a good, like that coat was good.
That actually, all of the fashions the guys had on, I was like, that's actually pretty cool. I would wear that to work.
Yes. It was really good. I mean, like the whole thing was just,
everything.
It was really good. I was not necessarily surprised that I liked it as much as I did, because I assumed that it was going to be good, but yes, I was actually surprised though that I did then download the soundtrack and I just like sit here and work and I'm like, I'm gonna be president now. like there's just songs that stick in my head. You're not gonna give up
the shot. What's the one with I'm not gonna miss the shot or not gonna miss
that one sticks.
That was a good one. Yeah.
That one sticks. So like, yeah, there's definitely some stuff that that's real, that you're like, oh, okay. And then you get kind of the other references. So now I think the next thing I need to do, because people are like, okay, because I never even listened to all those mixtapes that they did after the show, you know.
I didn't know anything about it.
They did all these mixtapes, and like the Roots did stuff, and like even the they did a remake of the George Washington's Going Home. They did that as a remake with Barack Obama. So there's like all of these other pieces that they took and read, and I never engaged with it because I'm like, I kind of want to
see it.
Like, I didn't want to get like the secondary and the other stuff because I'm like, I don't know that I'll get it. So now I feel like I can go back and listen to all of that content now and enjoy it and kind of understand it. I might watch it again. I'll have to ask my dad because, you know, once he gets my Disney login, whether or not he'll
Disney gonna come and get you. You let the cat out the bag.
Once they go in, and you know, I'll have to ask him if he
cut you off.
I hope not. That'd be awful.
You put it out there. I'm just saying.
They know how this works.
That is true. I did read an article once about the streaming services, and the Netflix people said they knew people were not doing their own service. Like, they would just get the password from their friend or family member and use it. But their whole contention was there's enough people that were streaming it. And at some point they're going to figure out the technology to prevent it from happening, but they'd rather you continue to watch it because, you know, somebody's credit card is going to need to be re-upped, and that reoccurring is going to, so you're going to have to set one up.
Somebody said,
or you're going to have a fallout with that person, and you're going to need to set yours up anyway.
I saw this meme. It's like, I'm so mad that my cousin's ex-boyfriend's girlfriend's mom changed her Netflix password. It's like, how dare she? So yes, at some point, but like, you know, but on Netflix, you can even add a profile of like other.
Yeah, you can add profiles of, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so
I've seen a lot of profiles on accounts before.
I don't have that many. I'm like, I figure I keep it to my immediate family and we're good.
Yeah. But, yeah. You
know, that's enough. Anywho, well, thanks for joining us this week. We're really excited, and we really want you to tune into this interview because, first of all, they're doing such incredible work, and then there's ways that you can be supportive of their efforts because, you know, I mean, here's the thing. We're going through these extraordinary times, and people are losing people in their lives that they didn't really expect to lose right now. And that, you know, and that's just the sad reality. We're, you know, there's sometimes it's one thing when you're like, okay, well, this person was ill, or that, you know, they had something going on, but we're unexpectedly losing people right now.
Yeah,
and you know, in a way that we never saw come.
Definitely weird circumstances, not even weird, just harsh circumstances where you can't even see people before they pass. You can't be the last person they talk to in person. You know, you can't hold their hand. You can't be with them in the hospital. Like, all of those things are just, it makes it even worse. Yeah.
Yeah. And this organization isn't just, I mean, we talked about it in the framework of kind of bridging that gap into college, but they do offer a lot of additional support resources for people who are going through or have gone through losing a parent. So, we hope that you will stick with us, listen to Mary, see what she has to bring. And if your heart moves you to be able to support them in this time and you're able to do so, it's, you know, we talked about our nonprofits right now needing support. So many people need help.
Yep.
And there are so many organizations that rely on the generosity of the community. And now the community is hurting a little bit. Well, not a little bit, a lot of people in our community are hurting. So those of us who can, there is a gap to fill. So we're hoping that by bringing some of these organizations to you and you have the means to do so, that we can help to do some of these stop gaps until we're all kind of back up and running at normal capacity again.
That's right. So stay tuned, and we are going to hear next from Mary Torrance Williams, who is the founder and executive director of Students Without Mothers.
Bye, guys.
Well, audience, welcome back to the Good Work Show. We are excited because we are now joined by Mary Torrance Williams, who is the founder and executive director of Students Without Mothers, Inc. So welcome to the show, Mary.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So, you know what? Tell us about Students Without Mothers. You've been on the show. It's been a couple years. We were just chatting about, we've got some folks who may not remember that interview. So we'd love for you to give us a background about Students Without Mothers and your mission.
Wonderful. Well, Students Without Mothers provide scholarships to high school students who are without their moms. In most cases, their mothers are deceased, but we also help students whose moms are incarcerated. So they come into our program during their junior year of high school, and they go through a year of life coaching and grief counseling before they receive their scholarships at the end of their senior year. So the coaching is to prepare them on how to make big life decisions, like how to decide on a college, how do you choose a major, how to handle conflict, whether the conflict is with your roommate, your professor, whoever it might be. Just, you know, how do you deal with conflict resolution? And then there's an element of like social etiquette that's involved. So we just try and get them as well, just well prepared so that they are ready when they go off to college to deal with whatever may come their way.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. And, you know, for folks who are navigating without a parent and maybe even some folks who do have them around, but it's great resources. But talk to us a little bit about what made you decide that you needed to form this organization, because you are the founder, and what kind of led you to that decision?
Well, that is always a great question. I like to start by saying I was already very busy before I started this organization and didn't need anything else to do. But sometimes when you're just led to do something, you know, I've learned that it's busy people apparently that are called to do it. So with that said, when my daughter was in high school, and this was 16 years ago, she had a classmate who had lost her mom. And my daughter was making me aware of her classmate's struggles, just how difficult it was for her to come up with the funds to apply for colleges. Just the college application fee was beyond what she could handle. So I asked my daughter to bring her friend over for dinner, and I was just going to talk with her about how I might be able to help her in terms of offering her an internship at my advertising agency, or maybe giving her a scholarship. But once I met with her, I knew that it was way bigger than I even thought. And there were so many students in the same boat, and it was incumbent upon me to do something about it. And I started Students Without Mothers as a result.
Wow. What a great story. And, mm-hmm. And kudos to your daughter too, for recognizing that, you know, her friend really could use some extra support. So that's, really awesome.
Thank you.
You told us about when you were explaining the organization about some of the challenges that young people might go through in terms of navigating high school without a parent, but you know, give us some of those ones that we might not really think about, you know, particularly for those of us who had either one parent or two parents who were even involved. You know,
there's
some people, like Church Anise's point, they may have parents, but maybe they're not involved in their life. So tell us a little bit about some of those challenges that you see your young people.
Thank you for asking. Some of it has been really surprising sometimes, but you know, there's just so much that they don't know, because most are first generation college students and they don't have their mom. They just don't have any idea of what they need to go to college, how to prepare. I had a student actually ask me a few weeks ago when she was picking up her dorm supplies and getting ready to go to college, which is another thing we give them, computers and dorm supplies. She wanted to know how she was going to eat. Like, what do they do about meals at college and how does all that work? And so they just don't know any of the basics. So that is why that life coaching year-long session is so valuable. We teach them about how to find other financial information, because most students that go off to college, their mother does all of this for them. Usually one of their parents, and most of the time it's the mom, that's filling out the applications for college, that's helping to navigate them toward what they need to do. The deadline is coming up to do X, Y, and Z. But these students, in most cases, have nobody to do that for them.
Yeah, and college is such a specific experience.
Yes.
And, you know, if you don't have, and you're right, like nobody teaches you how to do college. Other than people who have been to college and they have those tips about, you know, about a meal plan and, you know, what you really need and do you really need a meal plan. And, you know, I was watching some TV show the other day, and there was a kid going to college, and, you know, the parent was taking them. And then they thought that they had everything for the dorm room. And then they were like, oh, that kid's got a mini fridge. Like, if you've never put a kid through college or with yourself, you wouldn't even think about the
fact that, like,
you know, oh, you want a mini fridge, or you want, you know, or to call, well, tell the, you know, you should call your dorm mate, your roommate, and ask, are you bringing the TV or am I bringing it?
Yes. Like,
all of those.
Who has the garbage can? That's the, who's bringing the trash can?
All of that stuff. And I will tell you, one of our board members, her name is Suzanne Touchstone. This is her favorite part of getting the students ready every year. She heads up the whole mission of getting their dorm stuff. And inevitably, a student will call me back a year later and say, you know, when I picked up all this stuff, I had no idea why I even needed X, Y, and Z. And then about a month later at college, it's like, oh, yeah, this rolling bin under my bed is really coming in handy.
Yes, there's just so much, you know, that in, you know, you honestly don't think about it because you have to almost recreate your whole life in half of this little room and you don't really think about it. So
that is so true. It is so true, but it is amazing. And one of the other really, really important pieces of what we do in that year-long training session is we have a therapist that works with them that just helps them cope. Because I think sometimes we really underestimate what happens when you don't really cope with what's actually going on. You're sweeping it under a rug, or your friends don't understand, you have nobody to talk to about it. So she helps them understand, you know, that you know, what they're going through and how to handle it, and basically to contact her even once they're away at school if there's something they need to talk about. So all of those are just really, really important pieces of the whole puzzle.
And I was going to ask that after the students graduate, are there kind of some bridge services that y'all do? Because I'm just thinking about, you know, things that I would imagine would trigger a student who doesn't have one of their parents, whether it's drop off and pick up or parents weekend or that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, how does that part work?
Yeah, we continue to work with them throughout college. Now, some of the students aren't local here in Atlanta. They're going away to schools at other places, but they continue to have virtual sessions with the life coach facilitator and the therapist on whatever they need. And of course, the ones that are local here, we support them. You know, I've gone to more graduations than I could imagine. But we, you know, we support them throughout their college career. And in most cases, you know, it's a lifelong relationship.
So how's the organization grown over the years? We talked to you, like you said, a couple years ago and have been watching and seeing all of the things that Students Without Mothers has been doing. Tell us what's the latest and greatest for the organization and what's been going on over those past few years.
Well, now that we're in our 16th year, we've awarded 102 students with scholarships during this whole time. And we're starting now to see more and more of the students that were in the program in earlier years come back and donate and to speak with the current students. That is always the one that just, you know, makes me feel the most proud when a student who got her scholarship 4 years ago is coming back, talking at one of the life coaching sessions, explaining to the students what's going to happen if they don't focus during their first semester. And with the students, hearing it from one of their peers is almost so much more valuable than another, like an older adult telling them what to do.
For sure.
So those are the things I think that have changed the most, having them come back as donors and as facilitators and just seeing how their lives have evolved.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on 16 years. That's remarkable.
Thank you.
So I'm imagining over the course of 16 years that you've had some great partnerships and other groups or organizations maybe that have worked with you in order to, you know, see these levels of success. So talk to us a little bit about that. And if you do have those partnerships and working with other folks to help support these students.
Okay. Are you talking in terms of like corporate sponsors or other like partner organizations?
Both.
Yeah.
Okay. All of the above.
Okay. Great. Well, we have a lot of just really amazing corporate sponsors. We need many, many more, especially now, you know, dealing in the face of COVID when a lot of the individual donors are no longer able to donate. But, you know, we have had amazing corporate sponsors from Kroger that has donated to the organization for at least 11 years, consistently, long-term relationship. AT&T, through their Women of AT&T, they allow us to use their facility. They are an amazing partner that allows us to use their facility for our luncheon. event each year where the students actually get their scholarships. We have a technology partner, Usensus Research, that actually donates the laptop computers to the students each year, something we could not afford to do out of our budget. Donate the laptops, make sure they have the software they need, and provide the laptop maintenance on any services they need, even after they've gone off to college. So the relationships that we have are just really amazing. And we're also starting to align ourselves with more and more social service type organizations that can help our students with things they can't afford, like medical care and housing in cases where they may be homeless, which has happened, you know, multiple times. So great relationships is what has sustained us.
Absolutely. Well, if you could appeal to our listeners and audience and let them know how they can get involved, how they can learn more, if they want to become a partner with your organization, let them know how to do that. I think that would be great because, like you said, there are some things that the organization wouldn't be able to sustain without those partners, but there's mm-hmm. probably a whole lot more you could do if you had great partners and supporters. So let our audience know how they can support you.
Well, thank you. We certainly need more individual donors. We need corporate donors and sponsors. We need volunteers to help with our events. And there are so many ways to help and ways to give. We need people to help us get silent auction items for our auction events. So our website, which is studentswithoutmothers.org, you can contact us that way and let us know what you'd like to do to help. We have a huge event coming up that we will start registering for in a couple of weeks. It's a virtual walk race event. We need people to participate as team captains and participants. So if you want to get involved in any way at all, just reach out to us. We're happy to have your help.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and giving us an opportunity to catch up with the organization. We're just glad to hear from you.
Well, thank you all so much. It's always a pleasure. We appreciate the opportunity and thank you so much for your support.
Absolutely. Take care.
Thanks.